Amen. Amen. My question for you this morning is, are your chains gone? Are they truly gone in your life this morning? Can you say that? Can you stand here, whatever it is this morning, and just look inside your heart and tell me honestly and truly that the chains that you have in your life are gone? Can you say that this morning? Because if you can't, let me give you a recommendation this morning. This altar is open. Jesus Christ is here to seek and to save those which is lost. And praise God this morning. I want you to know something this morning. He can remove the chains from your life. Amen? He can do that this morning. I'm going to be over in Galatians, the first chapter, beginning with the sixth verse, and I'll get to it here in a little bit. One of the most frequently used phrases in the Christian circle is the gospel. You know, that's one of the most frequently used phrases. You know, it's the gospel. The gospel has to be preached. The gospel this, the gospel that. But what's so amazing to me is that so many people do not realize or do not understand or do not even know what the gospel means. They don't know. And you can say to yourself, well, I don't believe that. Or you can say, you know what, I find that hard to believe. I believe my church here knows what the gospel means. I believe they do. And that's not my whole point. I'll get to it here in a little bit. That's my reaction also. I believe that we all should know what the gospel means. It's a literal translation of the gospel is good news, right? That's a literal translation of the gospel. That means good news. The good news is that salvation is available through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, Him being resurrected. And all we have to do is to accept it. Amen? That's all we have to do. We don't have to get anything else attached to it. And I'm going to get into a lot of this stuff here in a little bit, Lord willing. But I want you to understand something. That is the good news. Amen? That's what it's about. Listen, you may be saying, surely everybody knows about the good news. Well, you know what? Listen to these numbers. This is what got me started on this. You know what? Less than 4 out of 10 adults know what this means. 4 out of 10, that's 37% of adults, that's all that know what the good news means. That's what the gospel means. 34% of them had another meaning for the gospel. 34%, I want you to wrap your mind around. 3 out of 10 adults didn't even want to answer the question. And you may be sitting back or saying, well, that's probably the general population. And you are right, that is the general population. Surely, church people know what the gospel means, right? Surely they do. Well, 60% of them is all that knew. When you go into a church and ask them, only 60% of them knew or could tell you what the gospel meant and what it translated out to be as far as good news and what the good news meant. Only 60%. That's telling me that 40% of the church world has no idea what the good news means. You know what I say? So you may be amazed at that, but you know what that means to me? That's sad. That's very sad. And you know what? I feel your heads with numbers a lot of times and try to give you a percentage, but brothers, you know what? That is a general feeling across this country today that 40% of them do not know. How can we spread the gospel? How can we spread the good news of Jesus Christ if we don't know what it means? I mean, that's unfathomable to me. That's just something to me that I can't understand. If I'm going to tell somebody that they need Jesus Christ as a personal Savior and that they need to be saved and He's the only one that can save them, Jay, how in the world can we tell them if we don't understand what it means ourselves? You know what? Mark 16:15-16, the Great Commission, it goes like this, right? And He said unto them, if ye can figure it out and perhaps find somebody to listen, and if they can somehow understand it, just maybe, they might keep themselves out of trouble. That's the way it goes, right? I don't think so. You know better than that. I know you do. You know what? It says in Mark, let's just read it, 16:15-16. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world, and said, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, how much plainer can it be? I want you to know the good news for us is that you know what? Jesus Christ has already taken care of that, and all we have to do is accept it. And if we believe, that he is the true Son of God, that he was born of a virgin, that he died, he rose the third day, he sat at the right hand of God. We believe it, and I don't mean a mind belief, I mean a heart belief. I want you to know we can be saved and praise God all the way to heaven. That is good news. Amen? That sounds right. We better know what the gospel means. We better understand it, and we better know what it means. Now let's turn our attention to the text I'm going to read this morning. Galatians, the first chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For I yet please man, I should not be the servant of Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, again, Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to stand behind the sacred desk this morning. I want to praise you and give you the glory that you so rightly deserve this morning. I pray, God, that the hearts and souls and minds of those here this morning, that they could understand, Lord, this morning, and to get taken into their hearts and know what the gospel should mean to each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. Just as the survey that I read to you, you know, we could say to ourselves, it matters to some people. But listen, Paul's saying the same thing in these churches in Galatia. You know, the same thing that I read to you just a little bit ago about the percentages of people, Paul's saying it here. So we can understand that it's not a new issue that's facing the church world out there today. There are people out there back then, as there is today, that didn't understand what good news meant. They didn't understand what preaching the gospel meant. And the heart and the problem of the churches in Galatia have turned from the truth of God's Word. Does it sound familiar today to you folks? I want you to understand something, folks. There are people out there in this world today that are taking the simple gospel, the simple good news, and turning from the truth of that and turning to so many other directions. Is it any wonder that we see so much confusion in the church world today? Is it any wonder why we see that there's no power in the churches today? Can we see that? Can we see why? Can we see that and understand that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has to be preached? I want you to understand it, or people cannot and will not be saved. They cannot, they will not be saved. And you know what? Look at verse 6. And it says right there, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And you know what? Paul's astonishment is not in the fact that there were false teachers. Paul knew that there would be false teachers that would exist. He knew that. He even warned people about it. But that the church was following them, that was the problem. He was astonished, not because there were false teachers, but because there were people that were willing to go wholeheartedly after it, no matter what. Without, you know what? You look at today, and you know what? It really upsets me sometimes when I listen to people and other preachers preach what they preach sometimes. And I'm not standing here trying to judge, but brothers, I'll tell you, by their fruits you shall know them. And I'll tell you what, if it does not stack up against the Word of God, I want you to know something. It's not right. I don't care what they try. I don't care how sincere they are. I don't care what they try to say. It is not right if it does not stack up with the Word of God. It does not. And I'll tell you what, there are going to be people out there and preachers that are going to be false. They're going to teach false things. They're going to try to tell you this way and that way. But brothers, and so I want you to know, and what astonishes me more is the fact that people will go after them wholeheartedly. Amen? They'll do that. Paul knew the false teachers were coming. If you look over in Acts, and I'll go ahead and just read it here for you. Acts 20, 28 through 30. And it says, take heed therefore to yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Listen, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. I mean, you know what? Paul knew that there were going to be false teachers. So his astonishment was not in the fact that there were false teachers. Like I said, his astonishment was in the fact that there were so many people that were believing them and following them. It's surprising. I'm going to try to pull four principles from the scripture that we just read a little bit ago. And I want you to say that the first one that I want to tell you this morning is, and I agree with this, and I wholeheartedly feel this, the gospel does not need anything added to it. Not a thing does it need to be added to it. It has nothing that the gospel needs to be added to it. Notice, the false teachers are not openly denying. They're not openly denying the gospel message. But what they're saying is, they only wanted to make it better. They only wanted to improve on the gospel. They only wanted to improve on what has already been out there for them to be saved. Sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They believed in Jesus Christ. They believed it. We just done something wonderful, but we want to add to it. I know you already believe it. You already believe that Jesus is Christ. But, brother, there's something else we want to add to it to make it just that much better. I want you to know something. When I got saved back in 1974, when I got on my knees and I come up out of there and Jesus Christ lived in my heart and I knew it, I want you to know something. There was nothing any better than that day. Nothing. I don't care. There was nothing. And I'll tell you what, I felt His presence and His Spirit from time to time down through my Christian walk and in my walk. And I want you to know there's nothing like feeling the Spirit of God in your heart. But when I got saved and I come up out of there, my chains were gone. The burdens of my life had lifted. I want you to know I was a different individual. And praise God, He's no respecter of person. Amen? He's not. Something more is needed. Some of the Jewish Christians at that time, and Peter was one of them, was trying to say the circumcision was also needed for you to go ahead and have that relationship with Christ. That was necessary for salvation, they were trying to say. They were trying to add it to it. That's why Paul tells the Galatian church in the 5th chapter, he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Listen, he goes on saying the second verse, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing." Look at what he goes on down in verse 6 of that same chapter. He says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh in love." Amen? Amen. Don't let anybody tell you that there's anything that has to be added. There's a salvation work that Jesus Christ done on the cross. I want you to know, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, I believe that you can be saved here this morning. You can do that. Don't let the devil lie to you. Listen, the Greek word for another is distorted. It says put out of shape. It was misrepresented. They had viewed a different gospel, a better gospel. They had viewed it that way. It's actually a distorted gospel. That's the point that Paul was trying to make. Paul is saying it was a counterfeit. There are so many counterfeit gospels out there today. We have to be careful. There are those that will tell you only certain ones can make it into heaven. Jehovah's Witnesses, right? And I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to tell you, I'll tell you what, but I know this for a fact, you better watch. And then in 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth?" I want you to understand that when they start telling me that there's only going to be a certain amount to get into heaven, it's only through works, I just turn my head and I say, my Bible tells me any who can be saved can make it one day. Amen. I want you to know that there are those that teach God was once a man. And men can become gods if we reach the level of obedience that Jesus did. And reach, and we can take our entire family and we can be gods on other universes and other planets. And that's why they are so family-oriented. Who am I talking about, folks? Mormons, you're exactly right. Mormons, they'll tell you, Isaiah 44:8 says, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witness. Is there a God besides me?" Amen. Is there a God besides me? He said, "Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Amen. And he goes on to say in Isaiah 44:6, "I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no God." I want you to know that finishes it for day long right there. I'm not no God. I never will be a God. And praise God, if I just keep my nose right and stay with Jesus Christ, hopefully one of these days, I know I'm going to be in heaven one of these days to worship and praise the one and true God. That's where I want to go. I don't care what church people say. I don't care what denominations say. If they try to add or take away from the gospel, run, run, run as far away as you can run from that. Don't even give them the time of day. I'll tell you what, why distorting the gospel can be so dangerous to our spiritual health. Look at verses 8 and 9 of Galatians, first chapter. It says, "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And he goes on to say, "As if he said before, I say unto you, I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." In these two verses, Paul invokes a curse. He invokes a curse on himself included and anybody else who distorts what the gospel is. He invokes that curse upon God. Listen, Paul's telling us it's dangerous. The English translation for this, we can't even fathom. This don't even go. It doesn't even go to where it's at. The English translation doesn't even do it justice. From the original translation, if anyone comes with another gospel, then let him be damned. Do you understand? That's the original translation. The English didn't translate it out very good. That's what it's saying. And in verse 9, it goes on to say, "And if you believe it, you also will be damned." Listen, that is pretty strong language as far as I'm concerned. Very strong. I think that's pretty serious, don't you? I'm going to tell you what, for those people who want to distort the gospel, for those people who want to add to it, I'm going to tell you something. They are in danger of God's damnation right now. And I'll tell you, I feel very sorry. So where are the David Koreshes? Remember David Koresh? Remember who he was? Remember David Koresh? Marshall Applewhite? Remember him? Heaven's Gate? Hellbop Comet? Remember him? Jim Joneses of the world? Where are they at today? What about Joseph Smith? You know who he is? He's the founder of Mormonism. What about Charles Russell? He's the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses. What about Mary Baker Eddy? She's the founder of the Christian Science Church. Where do you think these leaders are and the people who have wholeheartedly followed them down this path of destruction? I want you to know my Bible tells me, and there's two verses right there, they are headed for hell's damnations where they're headed. And those that follow and believe them are headed in the same path. God help those souls. God help them. God help. Paul's not talking simply about church discipline here either, folks. I want you to understand that. It's not simply just church discipline. The language is so strong, he's saying God will invoke damnation and wrath on those who distort the gospel. I don't care how sincere that they think they are. I don't care how sincere that they think. Those that I mentioned may have been easy to spot, right? They may have been easy to spot. What about these? What about the prosperity gospel that's being taught out there in this world today? What about that? What about the prosperity gospel that's being taught that man alive, you know, just believe it and receive it? What about that gospel right there that tells you that, you know what, anything you want, you just pray, and you know, no matter what it is, riches, no matter what it is, God's going to give it to you. What about that? What about that? What about the gospel that, you know, works only will do it for you? As much as you work and whatever you want to do, you can work your way into heaven. Doesn't make any difference about it. Long as you pay your tithes, long as you give your money to the church and to the preacher, brothers, then you're all right. What about that one? What about the one that tells us to do anything you want, anytime you want, and you know what? You're going to be okay. All you need is right on, just live your life the way you want to after. What about that gospel there? I want you to know, the point being, distorting the gospel is very serious. And I'm going to tell you what, if you head down that path, you better make sure you know what the Bible's saying. You better make sure of who you're following and who's preaching it to you. And you better make sure of that, because I want you to know God is watching and damnation can be on your soul before you know it. Amen. I'll tell you what, also the gospel points out that only the gospel can save. Only the gospel can save. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, "Grace be unto you, peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God our Father." I want you to know something. Our salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Amen? That's where it's at. We realize, we know, we realize we live in a great country, right? We live in a great country, and we have freedom of religion in this country. There's been many a man and many a woman who have died and give their lives to support that cause. Am I right? While these people in this country, we defend the right for individuals to believe the way that they want to believe, right? That's what it was all about. But I want to tell you something this morning. All religions are not created equal. Amen? They are not. They are not. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He didn't say you come to him by Buddha. He didn't say you come to him by Muhammad. He said you come through Jesus Christ. Amen? You do that. Acts 4:12. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. I'll tell you what, I don't care what the religion is, the people, the nationality. I want you to know something this morning. No name under heaven can save you except Jesus Christ. You want to get to heaven, you've got to accept Him. You've got to accept the gospel truth, and that is Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven. And brothers, finally, I want you to say, listen to me. Finally, the gospel's the only thing that can really change your life. Amen? The only thing, the strongest argument that I could ever have for any of you for the gospel changing your life is to listen to the testimonies. And I'll tell you what, we got some great testimonies in this church. We have. I've heard people stand up and say and give testimonies of how God has changed their life completely. And you know what? That is through the gospel. That's how it's done. I want to tell you a story about a gentleman by the name of Charles Bradenlow. Has anyone ever heard of Charles Bradenlow? You probably haven't. He is an avowed atheist, and he is an avowed infidel. That's what he is. He just doesn't care. He said, there's no God. And just what? He challenged a preacher to a debate, a preacher by the name of Hughes. To a debate. This preacher was the head of a mission over in London, and he was preaching to the poverty stricken. He was preaching to those who was on Skid Row who had suffered all gamuts of sins in their life. And these people were pretty bad shape. All of them were. And the preacher accepted the challenge, but he gave him one condition on the challenge. He said, I want to bring 100 people with me to testify how the gospel and how the Christ had changed their lives. And that guy agreed to it, and he told that Charles Bradenlow, he said, you bring as many people as you want, and they can stand up and tell how not accepting the gospel has made their life better also. And so he agreed to it. So the day that it happened, here they all showed up. Here the preacher showed up with his 100 people. But guess what? Mr. Bradenlow, he never showed up. He didn't show up to the meeting. And no reason was ever given. He just didn't show up. So what happened? There was a bunch of people that came to listen to this debate. Those 100 people stood up and started giving their testimony how Jesus Christ had changed their soul, how that they were on drugs, how that they were on alcohol, and they had totally listened to the gospel, and the gospel had changed their life. And guess what? A big prayer meeting broke out, and praise God, some people started to come to the altar, and hundreds of people got saved. I want you to know that the gospel is the only thing that can change a person's life. You can come up here and talk to me till you're blue in the face. And I'll talk to you. I've said this before. You can talk to anybody in this church. You can talk to me. I want you to know something. When you totally get sick and tired of the life that you're living, and truly in your heart, the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, and you come to an altar, whether it's your house or whether it's at this church, and you totally give it over to Jesus Christ, I want you to know that there will be a change in your life. There will be a change. You know, praise God. Many sinners got saved by the testimony of those people. I want you to, when we lose the message of the gospel, we lose the only message with the power. The only message, the power to heal wounded souls. We lose that. Listen to the demon-possessed man in Luke 8:26-39. And it says this, and they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he had went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tomb. And he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it had caught him. And he was kept bound with chains. I want you to hold on to that verse right there. For oft times he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, legions, because many devils were entered into him. And he besought him, and he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there were there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter unto them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they had fed them, saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told him by what means he was possessed of the devils and was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round and about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thy own house and shew thyself great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published it throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. In spite of what all was going on in this man's life, you know what? The demons possessed this man. He experienced many horrors. He experienced so much because of maybe his friends and his family. Remember, they put him in chains. They were trying to help him, trying to cure him. And you know what? They couldn't do nothing. I want you to know something here this morning. You could be sitting here, and I'm not saying you're demon possessed. I don't know.